T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com.
The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass.
Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details.
And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. He's New England's preeminent source on everything Patriots. It's time for Tom E. Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
On WEEI.
Into hour two of NFL Sunday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Greshke Fourier with us this hour. Out next hour, Andy Hart will join us at the top of hour number three. Joining us now to start hour two is with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston is with us. And Tommy, Fourier had a real interesting comment in hour one. I want to get your thoughts. This kind of feels like a bowl game, doesn't it?
Well, I think they should treat it as a playoff game. Do we mean bowl game as in pool and weed eater bowl?
Yeah.
Inconsequential?
Yeah, everybody, poinsettia. Yeah, a poinsettia bowl, right? Yeah, it's a, okay, everybody is trying to get, it's almost like a reverse exhibition game in some ways, or at least for some teams. And, you know, that gets, I mean, that gets into the, how does Miami treat it? How does New England treat it? I mean, it is an interesting spot that teams find themselves in, and the Patriots and the Dolphins are clearly two of them.
It is, but my opinion is that the Patriots should take all ambiguity out of this and play it like a playoff game. They are in a position where they're not going to overwhelm any teams with their vast talent. They have to play at a razor-sharp efficiency level. And really, when you think about it, there's only one game this year in which they did that against a good team, and that was against the Chargers. Since then, they've outscored some of the worst opponents that they played, Atlanta, Carolina, Tennessee with no guys, all that stuff. They outscored them 130-26, and then when you throw in the Jets game, and that was since the Chargers, during their winning streak. Then when you throw in the Jets, which was the game before the Chargers, they outscored them 184-39. So it's established. They can beat up on those bad teams or teams that are without weapons. But when they get in against better teams, they're not overmatched, but they're challenged. So I think that how they're playing matters more than how healthy everybody is, and that's a little hyperbolic, but you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I feel like we ask this question probably once or so a year. Why is it in your mind that Bill Belichick has struggled in his career so badly against former assistants? Because normally those guys go on to coach not great teams. And, you know, Brian Flores here, he's got a 500 team, and last year they won 10 games, so he might even be on the higher end of it. But he's 3-2 against Bill, and most of the assistants have gotten the better of Bill no matter where they've gone.
Yeah, it's whether it's Eric Mangini or Matt Patricia, on down the line, we've seen these outlier games. Vrabel, certainly. Bill O'Brien is the only coach who has not had mastery, and he wasn't even really here that long. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that oftentimes they're defensive coaches who go elsewhere, McDaniels being an exception to that in Denver. But they understand what the zig to the zag is. They understand how to create a game plan for that day the way the Patriots do, and they're not daunted, especially by the success of the Patriots. There's not the same feeling that maybe like a Zach Taylor would have, or you know, a Matt Rhule would have going against Bill Belichick for the first time as a first-time head coach.
Tom, I'm Brian Flores, like the first game they played, did they do a lot of that 7-8 guys on the line of scrimmage, the whole amoeba standing around, confusing quarterback? I feel like, did they do a lot of that in the first game? Do you recall?
They did everything they could to confuse them. I'm not sure how often they were doing the line of scrimmage stuff, but they blitzed a ton. They brought everything all game long.
Yeah, so I feel like, because I feel like I've seen more of that in that 7-game win streak where the things that the Patriots have done and what Brian Flores did also. So I feel like that's the biggest challenge this week. If you're going to try and, disrupt, Mac Jones, because that 7-game win streak, it's all backups, or rookies that they played against, and they feasted on those guys. So I'm curious if you think, is that something that they'll be willing to do again?
Yeah, I think, and that's what's interesting to me is, let's look at the Miami Dolphins' history in these final games of the season against the Patriots. 2015, under Dan Campbell, an interim coach, they beat the Patriots down there, costing the home field against Denver. They eventually lose the AFC Championship game there. Under Flores a couple of years ago, after having lost the opener 43-0, they beat New England here. So those are teams that had nothing to play for in week 17 and still did. So what are we going to see, I think, from Brian Flores' team today? What level of commitment are we going to see after a 7-game winning streak that came after a 7-game winless stretch and then the loss last week to eliminate them? So, Christian, I guess what I'm wondering is, how engaged are the Miami Dolphins going to be today? Are they like those developing teams under Campbell or Flores in 2019? Or are they, I'm kind of over this guy. What are we doing here?
Well, that was the bowl game analogy that Gresham gave you. Yeah, that's the bowl game analogy.
That's why I think Miami's in a bowl game scenario, but the Patriots are in a playoff scenario.
Do you feel, Tommy, that whatever happens today is momentum that carries into the postseason, or come Monday, you kind of shut the door on the league and it's only the playoff teams left and you're kind of starting anew on Monday?
I think 100% it's momentum that carries in. And again, I hate to keep going back, but it's all we have is 2018. The Patriots were a 9-5 team after having lost in Pittsburgh. They closed the season with wins over a 6-10 Bills team and a horrible Jets team, beat them up both. And they rode that from being a team that was being questioned all the way through the postseason to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying this team will do that or that that team was really good. It's just the momentum carried. 2019, they lost to obviously Miami at the end of the year, which I was talking about before. They finished that year 2-4 down the stretch, and they got hammered by Tennessee. I think there's a massive amount of import into how you're going into the playoffs. And the Patriots built really, really needed momentum last week against Jacksonville. So now against a better team, you don't have to win by 40, but can you win by 14? Can you go out there and win 24-10, play crisp, have things salted away? Or are you going to be in a dogfight? Or are you going to lose and then say, yeah, that's not us. It's okay. New day. Doesn't matter. Just had to get in the tournament. That will be what they say if they perform poorly or if they lose. But if they play well, I'm sure that they'll say, yeah, this is helpful for us.
Now, there's already two head coaching jobs available in the league. Tomorrow, I think we all assume there'll be a bunch more that we find out about. You wrote about this, but Jerod Mayo's opportunities that are going to be out there, how serious do you think teams are going to take his chances, and what's the likelihood that maybe he's coaching his last regular season game with the Patriots today?
I think teams will take him very seriously. He sat for the Philadelphia Eagles job last year that went to Nick Sirianni, and McDaniels was in the mix too. The hardest thing for Mayo is the ambiguity of his job description. He's the inside linebackers coach. There's always going to be perception that Bill is the coordinator, and it has now gained momentum that Steve, because he is the play caller, and Bill gave him specific credit after the win over Tampa Bay as to having called a great game and the most important regular season game as we build it. Back then, Steve called a great game. So now the perception is that Steve is running the defense. My understanding is the role for Jerod is pretty significant, and to the point where when they said, hey, do you want to be co-coordinators? that wasn't something that Gerard really felt great about, in terms of he didn't think it would be representative of the way he felt the distribution of responsibility and work was going. So he remains the inside linebackers coach. How hard will it be to hire an inside linebackers coach and sell him to your media? Not hard when Mayo gets in front of a podium and starts speaking. But to me, I think that's really been, it's kneecapped him a little bit. And it's something the Patriots continue to do with the presumption that, oh, it'll remove the ability to pin blame on somebody if we don't name them a coordinator. I think the ulterior motive is to keep guys in-house longer.
Why would anybody consider Mayo a head coaching candidate right now anyway? Like, I don't understand this, Tommy. There's like a rush to get these guys in who haven't had, to me, anywhere near enough experience. Like, you look at what Mike Vrabel did. Vrabel went to college, and then he became a coordinator, and then he went on the, like, he went and learned coaching and doing things different ways. Now it's like, well, Gerard Mayo was a great player and a nice guy, and he's coaching, so what the hell? Let's just turn him into a head coach. Like, I'm flummoxed, quite honestly. Not that it should be every retread out there, but to your point, this guy's coached one side of the ball, and it looks like he's coaching the inside linebackers and maybe calling some plays. And there's legitimate thought of him becoming a head coach? Like, what world has the NFL become?
Here's what's interesting to me is, and I get your point, absolutely. You know, the head coaching is important, vital. I think that head coaching is much more about a delegating leadership role than X's and O's. So you're right, but Gerard Mayo's been playing football for the Patriots since 2008. He was an all-pro player. One of the smartest, most relied upon players. So to say, okay, well, he's only been coaching for 3 years. He coached all that time he was there. He knows as much. And when we're talking about head coaches, and this is where teams get it wrong over and over and over again, just because a guy is a good coordinator and good with X's and O's doesn't mean he can delegate and lead. You need a leader to run your team. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. He goes on to be, because of his leadership ability, a really good head coach. Same thing with Tomlin, because he's a leader. That's why these guys stuck. Tomlin wasn't a defensive coordinator for very long, I believe, in Tampa. Belichick had to learn how to delegate and lead exactly the way he would be most effective. He did that a second time around. Gerard Mayo's abilities are in his leadership skills, not the amount of time that he stood in front of a room someplace and, you know, gone over practice plans. That, to me, is what teams often get wrong, Andy. I'll let you go because I'm sure you have a feel because you're passionate. I can feel it through the phone.
No, that was me. No, because my thing was like, yeah, of course, you know, I got to believe what you're saying, but I would also say the first thing he better do is go out there and hire himself a bunch of badass assistants.
100%. You are exactly right. That's where these guys get screwed, is their coordinators, you know, and they get elevated, whether it's, you know, I mean, look at the Bears. They continually are elevating uninspiring candidates to head coach, Nagy, or who was the guy before him with the glasses? Can't even remember.
Mark Trestman.
Oh, the quarterback That's whisperer. Correct.
Dick Geron.
Yeah, Dick Geron. I like Dick Geron. He was quietly dignified to a point where I'm like, okay, that's probably, you know, he's probably good. But I think that it's overrated. I like that.
He came across like a human being.
Yeah, quiet dignity. He played in the league. Dignified. You know, he was
There's
a good
an insult there
in the
somewhere.
No, so that would be my contention with head coaching in general. There's way too much time spent trying to elevate coordinators because of time spent of the fact that they were on a sideline under a head coach who was a good leader and had a lot of success. Okay, well, that guy was there. I mean, honestly, the best coaching candidate out there is McDaniels by a long shot. He's a better coach than, I would say, probably 25 of the head coaches around the league who currently hold jobs, head jobs. I mean, that's not even really debatable when you look at his resume and the things that he's accomplished and done and developed. But is the leadership there? The leadership is there with Mayo. That's why I think he's such a good candidate. But you're right. The ambiguity about his title and that sideline experience, which is what I wrote, those two things are going to be strikes against him. It was interesting that the Patriots put out a 12-minute documentary on Mayo, spoke to Teddy Bruschi, spoke to his wife, spoke to Mike Mateo from Optum, where Mayo worked in business, which is something few players can say they did. He wasn't just, hey, you know, shaking hands. He was in business development and did a lot of work for Optum in the time that he was there. He had a lot of responsibility. So, look, I know him well. It probably comes through that I think that he's a great candidate because how well I know him. But if I didn't think he was a great candidate, I wouldn't say that he was.
No, it's interesting. And again, I met Gerard Mayo a couple times, and we bonded over SpongeBob. So, there's different strokes for different folks all the way around. Tommy Curt of NBC Sports Boston, he'll be with Gresh and Keefe on Wednesday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Tommy, thank you, friend. Have a good pregame. We'll catch you during the week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. See you.
Appreciate it. There we go. There goes our guy Tommy Curran with us on the Harbor One Hotline. NFL Sunday is sponsored by Ketchus Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at KetchusLaw.com. Zudy, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy.com for details. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. And your New England Kubota tractor dealers. We will get to the Patriots offense against the Miami defense and maybe some straggler thoughts on head coaching candidates.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
NFL Sunday.
We're right back to it with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe
on WEEI.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news.
Breaking news on WEEI is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
We will get to more of the matchup between the Patriots and the Miami Dolphins, but the breaking news is that the Denver Broncos have fired their head coach, Vic Fangio, right into the sun, 19-30 in three seasons with the team. He had a bit of a stinging comment yesterday or before the Broncos played Kansas City. It might have been after the game, but it was, what's the difference between the teams in the division and you? And he was basically like, well, look at the quarterbacks. And a day later, they're like, well, Vic, you can look at him from the outside looking in. Is this any surprise whatsoever that this guy got popped? Even though, according to some people who work here at WEEI, the Denver Broncos have, quote, Keith, the most talented roster in the NFL, end quote.
Well, that's,
that must be Shime.
Our other producer, John Anderson, said that.
Did he write? What did he write?
About that, probably. Except for that pesky position of quarterback, which is where I kind of give Fangio a little bit of an excuse, is their quarterbacks have been terrible. Ever since Peyton Manning left there, and even Peyton Manning's last year, he was terrible. He was hurt. Mm-hmm. They still won the Super Bowl because their defense was so good. But it is amazing. So they've had multiple starters, but since Manning, these are the quarterbacks who started the most games for them each season. Ready?
Oh, boy.
So starting in 16, because they won the Super Bowl in 15, then Manning's like, see you later. Trevor Siemian for back-to-back years.
Not good.
Then Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater.
I like Drew Locke. Go ahead and save that cut.
Thank you, Shime. But they just were going through all these different guys, and also during that time, you had Vance Joseph for 2 years, Fourier's old teammate who was having the time of his life. Out there, he went 2 years.
Sergio,
he missed the playoff. Like, they haven't made the playoffs since that Super Bowl win with that great defense and with Peyton Manning. To be fair, they've had a lot of injuries and they don't have a real quarterback. But Vic Fangio is a weird hire anyway. He was a guy who had never been a head coach. He was like 60 years old when they brought him in. He's like a defensive coordinator, and you're like, really? That's going to be the guy?
John Elway.
Yeah,
that's John Elway screams. Can't pick coaches or quarterbacks.
Wait, did John Elway was John Elway responsible for that hire though before he left?
I do believe I so, because he only left recently. It was once Pat Mullen passed away, and then there was everything about the because he was hired 3 years ago. So
but Elway, you're right. Once again, you can cross Josh McDaniels' name off the list in Denver because he is the most hated guy in Broncos franchise history.
However, according to Tom Pelissero, one of the names to watch is Jerod Mayo.
I'm with you, Gresh. I know you got into it with I'm with you on this. And I mentioned this to Curran last week. We had this. I don't even know if you were here last week. I just don't get it. Like, I mean, I guess he's young. He's, I guess players can relate to him. He's in the Belichick system. I don't know what he has done to earn a look unless, people just push him out there. Like, I feel like he's the least qualified.
So I like the non-retread, first of all. I'm a big fan of the non-retread. I do understand what you guys are saying, though. He's not even a coordinator. You'd like to see him be a coordinator first before you want to hand that over to him. But a lot of people were making fun of a couple of years ago when anybody who was friendly with Sean McVay got a job, but all those guys are good. All those guys are in the playoffs right now. Zach Taylor turns out pretty good. Matt LaFleur, pretty good. Cliff Kingsbury, pretty good. And there was another guy. They're all, again, Brandon Staley, who's probably going to make the playoffs with a win tonight. So everybody was like, oh, my God, all you have to do is be like AIM buddies with Sean McVay and you get a job. Okay. Some of those guys were like quarterback coaches or like they were position guys. I hate, Vic Fangio, if I was a fan of the Broncos 3 years ago, they're like, hey, we have a 60-year-old guy who's never been a head coach, and he's been a coordinator on a bunch of teams. That wouldn't excite me. At least there's some unknown and potential with somebody like Jerod Mayo.
Yeah, well, quickly, Christian, I kind of rail on the, and this is where Keith and I really disagree. Like, I have a phrase, 2021 good. You know what that means? You've invested a ton on offense. You have an offensive coach, and eventually you kind of run out of solutions in the postseason. Like, to me, 2021 good means you're loaded on one side of the ball, and you have that head coach on that side of the ball, and they can't fix nothing else, but they're really good at what they do, and they win enough games that people are like, okay, they're great head coaches when, I don't know, man.
What defense is good, though?
No, but when I look at a guy like Vrabel, like Vrabel, is one of the guys who who took a road that if you're a fan, you can feel good about that he learned a little bit about personnel. He learned a little bit about offense. He went back to college, which I thought he would never do, quite honestly, and then went to Ohio State, got the stink of Herb on him. And then the next thing you know, he's now a successful head coach in the league, but he also learned how to put together an organization. Like, to me, that's what the head coach does. I joked with Keith the other day that if I'm Jacksonville, I go to Alabama and tell Nick Saban, here's $15 million a year. Run it the way you want. That means
a disaster.
That means if you
total
don't
disaster.
No, but that, no, but that
total
means
disaster.
But that means if you don't want a coach, I'm not talking about hiring him.
Idea.
I'm not talking about hiring him as a coach. I'm talking about bringing him in as the guy who sets your organization up for success. Because you know who
he's Bill Parcells then.
Because
Tom Coughlin.
Exactly
he's
right.
Hovering around.
But you know what? Would you rather have Trent Baalke or Kevin Colbert or Mike Mayock, who is the guy that is above the head coach that is putting together your organization?
Okay, so we got to go back a little bit because the Mike Vrabel, path, I think was unique, okay? So he's a linebacker's coach, but he had unbelievable success recruiting. I don't think he ever lost the guy that he went after, honest to God. Mm. So then he's the linebacker coach. He's with Romeo. Romeo steps down. He's a D-corn, but he sucks. The defense sucks. They're not even any good. And then who is it? The GM that's in Tennessee.
John Robinson.
John Robinson. There's a connection there. And John Robinson is running the team, and he's picking the personnel. And Mike is just being Mike. He's smart. He definitely gets the respect of his players. He had an unbelievable career. He's really clever. He easily does a great job of motivating and bonding with his players. I see it all the time. I'm like, man, these guys, because he's snarky, he's sarcastic. He challenges them to do the same thing. That's why they're good. So I sit there and go, well, his path wasn't, typical. The typical path to me is, I'm sure you guys heard Dean Pease, right? Railing about guys who get a job too easy. Okay, so the typical path is you know, be an offensive coordinator, be successful as an offensive coordinator. Like, go to a Super Bowl.
For, like, multiple years, too, right?
For multiple years. Okay, now you're ready. You can do it as a coordinator. You can coordinate a defense. Now, you know, you just got to, you know, listen, just coordinate the rest of the team. It's the next step. I feel like there's less and less of that happening, and it's happening quicker, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. Like, just because you don't, like David Culley, like the guy that's, you know, like running the Houston Texans.
For
like,
now. That's a horrible
talk
hire.
Talk about a terrible hire.
That's a horrible hire, because I also want my hire to be somebody that hopefully is with the team for a while. Like the
It was a terrible hire.
Doesn't it feel like that part of that was we're going to bring in an African American coach because we have an African American quarterback who's been very vocal about playing for someone of
similar color?
They
already screwed that up though, because according apparently Deshaun Watson wanted Eric Bieniemy, they didn't even interview him. And then at the last minute, they're like, all right, let's hire Culley. It's the worst reason to hire somebody.
I completely agree.
Hire the most qualified
guy.
They
botched that down there.
Well, but is that it with Mayo? Like, so, I mean, like, listen, I mean, so, you know, getting coaches of color, I think, is, like, a thing. Like, the players, they're, you know, a big portion of the team is African-American. They want a young, relatable guy on those staffs. Not saying that's the only reason.
Right.
But I do feel like it's part of it. And to act like it isn't, you're insane.
But I also think the young guns, which Gresh doesn't like, but those guys have done well recently. And we know that it's a league of trends. And once you see guys that are having success.
Now that I agree with.
Right.
League of trends.
The copycat thing, all that stuff. It's so. Whether it's a young offensive assistant or a defensive assistant, it seems like those guys, their track record's so much better. Like, Vic Fangio already gone. David Culley was a bad hire, probably going to be gone. You look down at some of these older coaches, they're not having the same type of success as a lot of the young guys are. So if you're a team in the market right now, the first thing you would do is probably look at guys under the age of 40, for God's sake.
But what's interesting is that John Harbaugh is at great success. He's been consistent. That's a guy who's put together a program top to bottom along with Ozzie Newsome, and they've been able to maintain it. Yet, the only special teams coach, I think, recently that has been hired as a head coach was Joe Judge. So you have a guy, now let me tell you something. Do I want the Das Wunderkind quarterback coach of the moment, or would I listen on, I don't know, like a mid-40s special teams coach who has success, who has to coach all three phases of the game, deal with all 53 guys on the roster? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just very interesting to me that
Who's your quarterback? Isn't that also different? Like, well, it is to me.
It's funny you say
that. If you're Jacksonville, I don't want the special teams coach. I want the guy that can get Trevor Lawrence to be good.
And that's where maybe it's a little different, where you look at that's why I think like Doug Peterson might end up being the fit, because he'll take on all those assistants. But when you think about Denver, if there's one thing Bill Belichick has always maintained, and it's one of the most famous resignations in NFL history, you better have an owner. And right now, what is the ownership situation in Denver? And then it's the what is the quarterback situation? Like, I think if you're Mayo, you have to go interview, okay? I would never take as many interviews as you can. Yep. If Gerard Mayo takes that job, that's hanging himself in his first head coaching job. A wonky ownership situation that might change. You don't have a quarterback. I mean, and you're walking into what?
Yeah, but like, there is something, though,
that
Gresh.
Doesn't seem like a really good fit.
But you can fail once and get another job.
Yes.
You 100% could do that. And so
they all fail at least once.
It seems like
all of them.
Not McVay.
I mean, there's exceptions. Not McVay. McVay is interesting, because this is what I would do. I guess I want to circle back to the Denver situation with Fangio, because I do have a theory on that. But the McVay situation, like, if I'm Jacksonville, here's what I'm doing. I think this is what McVay did. This is what the Rams did. They hire a young, you know, super-minded coach, okay? Young, energetic, you know, relatable. He's running the offense. He's running the team. I'm hiring a Romeo Crennel, Wade Phillips type to run my defense. Listen, I'm going to stay out of your hair. It really, you guys create your own, like, little village, your own little atmosphere.
See, when Ditka and Buddy Ryan.
Exactly. That's a great example, though.
Yeah, it worked in the 80s.
Well, no, but it's working now.
No, McVay,
Phillips
worked. No, what you would, I think, like, Kevin O'Connell, Mike Zimmer would probably work. Or Kevin O'Connell, as much as I crap on Fangio, like, somebody like that, like the experienced guy, but you know what? Head coach, that ain't it. But if you're
Fangio's
running the defense.
Fangio's going to be a defensive coordinator. As soon as I saw that he got fired, I was like, dude, he is a perfect, like mentor type guy that's been in the league forever. Like Dean Pees is that guy.
He's Rod Marinelli 2.0.
Smart. Listen, Alexa, I could counsel you. I could give you advice on what to do. It's ultimately your decision. I'm gonna run the defense. Give me some players, dude, and then get the f out of my way. Like that's it. You worry about Trevor Lawrence and his whole psyche. And if you need some advice, dude, I'll give you some. But like that's what I would do. Like that is 100% what I would do. And it sucks if you're a defensive player, you sit there and go, "Wow, you know, we're a second class citizen." Yeah, you are.
Kind of are. That's the way the league is now. Yep.
Sorry, that's the way it is. But real quickly, circle back to the Broncos. Do you guys think this firing has anything to do with the Broncos' hope that they can get a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
It has to. Rodgers, Watson, Wilson, it has to be a full-court press for one of those quarterbacks because we kind of make fun of it. They do have a solid roster. They've just had so many injuries, and their quarterback stinks every year. So that is one of those teams, like the old Tom Brady going to Tampa blueprint, find a team that had everything but the quarterback, and one of those three guys. Now, I don't know if any of those three would want to play in Denver, but they would all make them a playoff contender right away.
If you're Aaron Rodgers, why the hell would you want to go play for Gerard Mayo?
No, that's not working.
No,
that's
but no, working. He's talking about more than just the Fangio out.
Fangio out. Because Denver succumbed to the, hey, we might have a chance to get Aaron if we hire this guy, and then you don't get Aaron, and then you're stuck with that guy.
So the
who's
timing,
Aaron's best friend who's a coach?
Oh, God.
Pat McAfee.
Who does he like?
Nathaniel Hackett, his current offensive coordinator.
Ooh. And he's a candidate too, right, Chimes? Is that what you said? So Nathaniel Hackett could get the job and then take Rodgers and Devontae Adams and start anew.
Boy, you better know you're getting him, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're going to hire that guy, you better know that it's and like,
that's why it's sort of like the
I
timing
can deliver
will be
him here.
The timing will be interesting.
You're almost better off trying to make a run at Watson because you can control the situation a little bit
more.
At least you could trade for him a little bit. It is interesting because, again, we flippantly say, well, what about, well, one of the guy was the rookie of the year last year, quarterback, has defensive-minded coach. So it's like, what are they doing there? Because Brandon Staley was the defensive coordinator, but he had the hotshot quarterback. So, like, it's not completely – I get it that we're an offensive league now. But if the defensive coordinators weren't candidates for jobs, then why would Wink Martindale be getting interviewed? And how the hell did Brandon Staley get in there with supposedly one of the best five young quarterbacks in football? Like, at some point, defense matters. And by the way
– you're right.
Doesn't all this conversation in a weird way to bring it back around in New England – isn't this great? This is great for us here.
What part?
The whole go hire neophytes, go hire one-sided guys on that side of the ball, because that's where it gives the Patriots an advantage that Bill Belichick,
if
Josh McDaniels passed out and there was no one to call plays, Bill could do it for a game and be okay.
Yeah, but
I made this argument all the time. If the defensive coordinator passes out in L.A. and McVay had to call the defense, it'd be a mess. but I think all of this is leading to more advantages for the Patriots because they have the one guy who can find or at least try to find the flaw with every other coach in the league because he just has knowledge that no one can touch.
Well, yeah, I mean, he always has the advantage because what candidate right now would you say is great at both sides of the ball? Even Bill didn't get credit for offense until recently.
No,
he was always a defensive guy, and really, he always had that because of where he came from.
But his big selling point was also that he had special teams experience as well, and then you hear someone like Brady who'd be like, oh, yeah, Bill showed me how to do it this way. Like, how many defensive coordinators are going to walk in and say to the quarterback, hey, we'll just flip the play upside down and I'll open your world like Dave Matthews, you know?
I hate that.
Show your world to me.
Defense, the way defense, that looked so weird. It's like the Matrix. But I will say, like, Bill's never in any of our offensive meetings, like, ever. Like, never came in. Like,
but could he be walking by and notice something and fixing on the fly right away because he sees it a little differently than others. He might not be in the meetings.
I mean, I'm not going to discount the fact that I feel like he honestly knows everything about even the game plan because I feel like they sit through what I remember a coach telling me how miserable it was to be a coach with them because, okay, so like for offensive film practice, the defensive coaches would have to sit in the offensive team practice film. So I'm a defensive coach. I have nothing to do with the red zone practice that you did, and I'm not coaching it, but I have to sit and watch it, which is such a time sucker, okay? So same with the offensive players. The offensive coaches would have to sit through the defensive players' practice. Like, practice. Not a game. Practice. And then suck all there. So they would have to sit there and watch the defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel, and Bill critique and talk about a Wednesday practice for the defense, even though they had absolutely nothing to do with it, Gresh. Like, zero.
But did it make them better coaches?
No, I know. To your point, like, yes. Yeah, so they, in a sense, they all know what's going on. Like, all of them.
Right.
I remember Jeff Davidson used to come in so freaking tired. I was like, dude, what are you? Jeff, why are you so tired? He's like, dude, we have to watch all the defensive plays also. All of them. And then go do our work and install for the offense and then watch our offensive stuff. I'm like, that's a freaking nightmare, dude. Why? Because Bill wants everyone to know everything about everything. So it's a group thing, which is a little weird, but it's a group thing. They're into the group thing.
You would think that's funny. You would end up thinking that would get other guys head or help them in terms
of
getting head coaching jobs.
Get him out of coaching.
All right, so Vic Fangio is out, so there are multiple jobs open. We will continue talking about this as we roll along here on NFL Sunday. No Duggar, no Hightower for the Patriots defense today. We can touch on how the Pats are going to match up against the Miami offense and the million-dollar question today, Buffalo or Cincinnati? Who do you want to see the Patriots match up with next weekend? We will get to all that next. This is NFL Sunday.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
NFL Sunday is sponsored by the Ketchus Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at KetchusLaw.com. Zudy, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy.com for details. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass., and your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Gresh Keefe, Fourier is in. He'll be out for the 11 o'clock hour, getting ready to do some TV, and then back with us in the noon. Wiggy is out today. We should be full operations coming up next weekend when the Patriots play somebody in the wild card round.
And someday they could play Saturday, Sunday, or Monday.
Very good point. Yeah. So Buffalo or Cincinnati are the two most likely options. If you just, all right, it's one of those two. You know it's going to be on the road. Who do you want to play?
Christian, you go first. I have my answer.
Okay,
I know exactly.
I got Buffalo.
Sam,
I got Buffalo.
I agree.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Give me
Buffalo.
Do you
want anything to do with that psychotic, crazy offense that is Jamal Charles?
No.
I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
no. It scares me.
I'm okay. Again, it's the whole J.C. Jackson, Jamar Chase is great. I look at it this way, Christian. I want the young quarterback, just like we have, but I want the experienced head coach against the guy who hasn't been there before. Whereas Buffalo, they know you. They want you. That's the other thing, too. Cincinnati is going to be, we're happy to be here. Buffalo's going to be like,
wants them?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think the fans might say that they do and all that, but I don't know if the team does.
I think that team does. Given their reaction when they lost, they legitimately think they're straight up better than New England. And what better way for them to prove it? Because the division is the division.
But don't you think in a battle, and I know you're saying, you know, the veteran great coach versus the young rookie coach, but then also when you have a battle of two teams that do know each other pretty well, I'll take Bill to sort of find that different layer, extra wrinkle, whatever it takes. I would Bill a third time versus a team he's never seen before, because we've always heard the, when it comes to speed, for example, like, I didn't realize Lamar Jackson was this fast, or I didn't realize Tyreek Hill was this fast. I think the same thing had happened with Cincinnati. Holy crap, I didn't realize Joe Burrow can make those throws. And then it's too late. And then it's like, all right, well, the next time you face Joe Burrow, you'd be more prepared, but you're sitting at home. There's two things that I think could really hurt the Patriots defense, and one is a really good running game, see Indianapolis, or if Derrick Henry returns to the Tennessee. I think those are tough matchups. Buffalo doesn't have that. Cincinnati, even with Joe Mixon, does. It's better than Buffalo's, but it's not amazing.
They're in love with throwing the ball right now.
Yes, and if you have a really good second or third receiver, that takes away J.C. Jackson. All right, let's say J.C. Jackson puts the clamps down on one of those guys. Great. If he does that to Steph Diggs, the Bills don't have anybody else to throw to. T. Higgins is legit, and Tyler Boyd's really good. And so I fear Cincinnati more. I think they are the scarier team.
Yeah, and I think that the revenge game, well, we'll prove it to you game, burden of proof game, was the game that where the Bills probably, and Josh Allen, probably had his best game of his career.
Right.
Like, I thought Sean McDermott did an unbelievable job motivating, getting his team ready. They showed up. They showed out. They had a great game plan, and they weren't afraid to like to be aggressive. There's no freaking way that they pull that off again. Zero. I feel like in order for them to kind of do that again, I think it's going to be tough. I do. Just based on the emotions in the second game, especially with what happened. And you're right, like based on how like embarrassed they were, they think that they're better than you. And, you know, they were embarrassed at the podium and McDermott completely became unhinged. So then they come back and they beat you at your house and they have an unbelievable game. And they basically win the division with that game. I don't know if they can get that again. I don't.
And Mac Jones had his worst game. So Josh Allen had his best game maybe of his career. And I love Josh Allen. I think he's great. But he was perfect in the game. And then Mac Jones was as bad as we've seen him. Both of those things probably won't happen the next time.
Yeah, I also don't think there's going to be much of atmosphere in Cincinnati.
Really?
In Buffalo, in terms of playoff,
I think it'll be crazy.
They'll be jacked up, but that atmosphere ain't going to be Buffalo. Not even close.
Yeah, but Buffalo, I guess it's not intimidating. They're not intimidated by Buffalo. I think the biggest issue is when I just think about any team really is and I don't even think he's playing today because of COVID is Miles Bryant. I think he may be your biggest like obstacle.
Miles Bryant and Miles Bryant has been so bad in coverage that you forget about Jalen Mills. Like if Jalen Mills has to match up against T. Higgins, forget about it. And I think
Jalen Mills is had a bad
Miles
year.
Miles Bryant, who's the third wide receiver for Cincinnati?
Tyler Boyd.
Career day.
Oh, he'll pants him. You're right. He'll absolutely pants him.
Can that guy beat you on his own? Because you could argue that McKenzie was really the guy.
Isaiah McKenzie can do it, those other guys can.
I don't know. I get nervous about it. When I think of like, you know, things that are going to come back and bite you in the ass, I feel like Miles Bryant being, you know, really should be a special teams guy, really should not be on the field. Like, I would even say even last week, the Jaguars were starting to kind of pick on him. Starting to. And he got that ball goes off the tailback's hands. He gets an interception.
They weren't smart enough or good enough to really exploit it. But
I'll tell you the other thing, too, is, and it just popped up on the screen here, Joe Burrow tweaked his knee at the end of last week's game. And that's sort of a mitigating factor. Whereas with Josh Allen, it looks like he's healthy, upright, ready to go. It's going to be Brandon Allen put him in a quarterback for a day.
Get him out there.
Fly one in. Make him the starter. There you go. Like, I guess that's – and by the way, I don't know about you. I think Buffalo's winning today. They're not losing to the Jets.
I think it might be close, though. I think the Jets are going to be kind of pesky today. I think they are.
I think the Bengals are losing, too. Again, you have no Mixon. You have no Burrow. They're basically kind of resting guys to kind of get ready. I really, truly do believe Buffalo goes in with a different sense of purpose than Cincinnati. Cincinnati is the – we're happy to be here however far we go.
Yeah, Buffalo hasn't finished the job yet.
Buffalo has something to prove. Yeah. And I think that's the real danger with them. I recognize, Cincinnati is on their way to building a hell of a football team. Like, they made a big signing in free agency, a defensive end that has made a difference. It looks like for the first time in a while, Cincinnati at least has a clue or a little bit of a plan.
It's also, to me, not a huge difference. Like, there was the year when Belichick threw the game, and it was the difference, I believe it was Pittsburgh or Jacksonville. One of them was more of a slam dunk win than the other. They're both, I think Cincinnati's better, but I think they're both similar. It's not like you can't win or one's a guaranteed win in one of those environments. The other thing is, and Ryan Hannibal wrote about this on WEEI.com, I know some of the spreads are big, right? Like, the Colts are heavy, heavy favorites, but there are enough scenarios in play today where the Patriots could still have one of, I think, five different opponents next week. There is a scenario where they play Kansas City. Yep. There's one where they play Tennessee, Cincinnati, Buffalo, the Chargers, and there's even one outrageous one where I think they play the Raiders.
How does that
happen? It's insane, like all the different things that could happen today.
So basically, if the Patriots win and Buffalo loses, the Patriots win the division. If the Patriots win and Buffalo wins the division. If Buffalo wins and Cincy loses, then it's Patriots, Cincinnati, and a four first versus five game and all the different scenarios that Keith kind of rolled out there. All right, we lose Fourier for an hour to go.
No, we're good.
You're going to hang for a little bit? Oh!
I got another 25 minutes. What are you doing?
Oh, all right then.
Don't shove me out of here.
Look at this guy. You're like volunteering.
Fourier will be with us next.
He could have gone to finish his breakfast or something like that.
There's no game or anything like that. I got another 15 minutes of me.
Oh, look at this guy. All right then. Well, Andy Hart of WEEI.com will join the three of us next on NFL Sunday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.